Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 631. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week, Mr. Pete. He is
what
back.
Up?
What up, Pete? What's going on?
Doing all right. It's been a couple of days here. Spent the weekend in Daytona.
How was that? I got to see pictures, and it looked like it was like a lot of fun.
Let me tell you, when the expectation that, okay, you're going into Daytona, the Daytona, you know, Daytona International Raceway, the connotation is, and no offense, but you think NASCAR, you think, you know, country, redneck type people. That's not what I went to. I didn't go to the Daytona 500 or the Daytona 250 and 300, which is coming up in the next couple of weeks. This was the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, which is part of the Rolex series of endurance racing. So you've got The people that sent me out, shout out, I know they're not listening, but I'm going to give them a shout out anyways. LaSalle Solutions and the Racers Group, they invited me out because of my daytime job to come check it out. It was a full VIP package. Like, I got to go out with tickets, with, you know, the wife included. So the wife came with me, who is a much bigger race car driver fan than I am. And
nice,
just going out there, hanging out, getting to meet the owner of the racing team, Kevin Buckler, who is a former 24-hour of Le Mans winner and a 24-hour of Daytona winner. Hanging out with them, meeting the drivers, and then sitting in the pits. Like, that was the most insane part. You know, watching this team work in unison, you know, you've got five or six different, you know, people that all alternate between, you know, tires, fuel, you know, setting up the drivers in the car. And I mean, these people are driving like a, like 2017, Porsche GT3, R series cars. And the cool thing about the Rolex is that it's not just one type of car. Like, you think of NASCAR, you think, okay, it's just NASCAR car. You know, it's just like, you know, regular souped up cars. No, this is cars like the Nissan GT, the GTR, right? Then you've got, you know, Porsches, and you've got supercars like Lamborghinis and Ferraris and R8s. And then on top of that, you've got prototypes. You know, we're talking $750,000 million prototype cars like the Oreca and Cadillacs. So they're all racing at the same time on the same level, the same track for 24 hours. And like, you've got, I mean, these cars are super high powered, and to sit inside the pit, listening to them all talk and coordinate, and then just hearing and mostly feeling the rumble of these cars as they come in, whether it's to pit, or to, you know, as they're passing by, it was just such an amazing experience. And to go back to the culture, it's not just what you would expect, like a Daytona or Indy 500 type race. This is more of an international feel, because you've got people from around the world. And it's not just people from a specific race style. There was legends, Jeff Gordon from NASCAR, who, you know, a lot of people know, number 24. There was Christian Fittipaldi, Emerson Fittipaldi's son. And then there was Tony Kanaan, who's a legend in race car driving. So all of those three, and at one point, I think it's Fittipaldi and Gordon were 1 and 2, and Tony Kanaan was like 14th. But to think that, like, you know, you've out of 42 cars or something like that, all of these people were all racing in different class cars and just going up against each other. It was just such a phenomenal experience. It really, really opened my eyes, to race car driving, especially from an endurance standpoint. And these people were, you know, they drove for an hour, and then after an hour, they swapped drivers. And then midway through the day, or through the night, it actually started raining. So they've got to go from slicks to grips on their wheels, and seeing how, seeing the telemetry of how their cars, you know, they were, they, you know, everybody on the stats bench can see everything that's going on in the car, brake pressure, you know, steering, just, it was such an amazing experience. It, it's, my wife even said it. She's like, this is the most amazing experience she's ever had in her life. And I was just like,
that's dope.
Wow.
That's
so
dope.
Yeah.
But
like, what, so I'll
didn't
definitely
a listener, wasn't a listener of ours was over there at the event too?
He wasn't there, but he does follow endurance type racing. He actually knows the people that sponsored that, that were part of the sponsors that, that allowed me to go out there. And they know him. That's, and they went back and forth. And I was like, yeah, I'm here with the racers group. He's like, yeah, I know them. And then they chimed in on the Twitter conversation because they were tagged in it. And then they were going back. It was just, it's, you never know who you're going to meet or talk to, especially over social media. So it was again,
small world,
a phenomenal experience. I hope I get, you know, lucky enough to get invited again. Actually, I know the wife is looking forward to it as well. Hopefully.
He's like, where's the next one? By the way, Paris is not going to be joining us this this episode, but he, hopefully next week, you know, we will record an episode for Monday. Yes. So stay tuned for that. And we have a lot of voicemails. I don't want to put too many here. I think it's like a pretty cool voicemail that we received from all the way from Germany. So I'm going to play it in a few minutes. But first of all, head over to GamerTagWare.com and listen to our past episode there. You could subscribe. Thank you. Find us on and iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, other places there. Anything that has to do with podcasts, just search Gamer Tag Radio. We're there. Or if you want, go to play.it/gamertag and we're there too. And make sure to spread the word.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so in this episode we have two interviews. One is Pete. I have Vitaly.
Yo.
I met him again. I got to meet him again at a gaming event here in Miami. We were talking a lot about like esports and how was it back then, how it is now and everything. So I also interview Make Games Miami. They had a gaming cruise over the weekend, which Vitaly was involved, also Destructor and other people too. They had a lot of indie games. So in the future episodes, I'm going to play more interviews that I recorded were there during the event. So I sat down with one of the founders of the organization and the event. He was telling me a lot about the indie scene in Miami. If there was any successful Miami game developers that blew up. And so you'll be surprised, Pete, once you listen to this interview, very, very surprised on one of the games that he mentioned was like a huge success and stuff. So I was like, all right. But it's a great interview. So we're going to play it later on. But first, Pete, I think we're going to play this voicemail all the way from Germany. And but first, P, you ready for this?
Talk to me.
Fan mail.
Yep. Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail. All right, so let's play it right now.
What's up, Godfrey? Pete Wang in Paris. For the first time, you're listening to the voice of TJ here with just my short personal message, or to say it in my native tongue, Dutch. Even een korte persoonlijke boodschap voor jullie allemaal, which I guess sounds quite funny in your ears. So let me at first apologize for my rather average English language skills combined with my Dutch accent. I'm a 47-year-old old Dutch guy married to my lovely German wife, Sabine. Having no kids, but instead and also a lovely purebred female German dog, a Harzer Fuchs. Not a German shepherd, so, named Kiwi. We are living in the countryside of North Germany, near the cities of Bremen, Bremerhaven and Oldenburg. But thank goodness, with a rather good DSL internet connection, having 50 megabits downstream and 10 megabits upstream capacity. So, my first computer was a Sinclair ZX81 way back in 82, with an incredible 1 kilobyte of RAM. Just for your pure information pleasure, I'm saying that. Okay, listening to you guys, GTR, since I stumbled upon you during my last vacation in September of last year, and podcatching you mainly on my cell phone. So even if I have never been to the States before, but as part of the Royal Dutch NATO forces stationed in Germany during the Cold War, I had the privilege to come in close contact with a lot of different NATO nations, especially US Army personnel, located in Bremerhaven, the so-called US port of embarkation. My dad, with his 85 years, is one of the last still living Dutch soldiers who fought together with his US friends as part of the 2nd US Indian Head Division during the Korean War 1951 to 1953. Just to give you guys some broader context about my background. This all leads me to why I raise my voice here at GTR. Just because all my life I live through diversity. Diverse people, diverse languages, diverse countries, diverse opinions. And maybe for you and the listeners, most important, diverse PC and console platforms. And always felt that this enriched my life so much more. Sure, these experiences might not have been those of my average neighbors, but it definitely shaped the way I walk on with my life. In this regard, let me call upon all you listeners to never forget that through the passion for video gaming and the power of the internet, we should celebrate, we should unite also our passion for diversity, like this message coming from good old Europe to an US-based online podcast radio station, having chosen you as I deeply respect your broader perspective on video gaming and beyond. Let me close with a quote of one of my most favorite German philosophers, Arthur Schopenhauer. Quote, "National character is only another name for the particular form which is littleness, perversity, and baseness of mankind, take in every country. Every nation mocks at other nations, and all are right." TJ, Germany, Europe, over and out. Thank you, guys.
All right, so thanks, TJ, for that amazing voicemail. And especially now, Pete, with a lot of things going on, you know, around the world and, you know, here in the States, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I think that was an awesome voicemail.
No, right? I 100% agree. In especially with the climate of today, and I don't want to try to slant this towards a political speech. I know we've talked about maybe doing that offline, but I think we need some positivity, especially with the way that the current climate has been going over the last couple of years. I don't want to just focus on the last 13 days, but let's say over the last couple of years, I've noticed, mm-hmm. and I think we've all noticed how gamers in general have just been getting more and more negative and not focusing on the positive. And mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that plays against what we're trying to achieve as people, right? Instead of focusing mm-hmm. on the negative, let's focus on the good, the positive, and make things better just by focusing on making things better. It's easier to see or to envision or to visualize the bad stuff, but there's no need to. And I think if mm-hmm. it just starts with one person, you know, and I think I said this, when I went to the dentist, I think it was Monday or Friday of last week or something like that. And it was like trying to start the year off with a smile instead of being negative and bitter that I had to wake up at 7 in the morning or something like that. It's just, I think that's what we as people need to start doing, is just to push positivity and go from there.
Let me ask you this. You listened to last week's episode, the ending of it, like the last 10 minutes of it?
I did.
You did?
I know we've had a couple of people ask what my opinion were on the situation.
Yeah.
I disagree with the things that were said by and large by this person. And it's not a matter of thin versus thick skin. It's a matter of dignity and respect.
Okay. Okay.
Those that are supporting his behavior are just as guilty. It's not about passion or being aggressive. You can still get your point across in a civil manner. It doesn't benefit the industry in any way to continue to give shine or attention to something like this, but it does need to be addressed. And I will say this, we have a much larger issue at hand than video games. If only the people in the games media and their respective communities could just put as much effort into these larger issues as they do towards the gaming, we'd likely be in a much better place today.
I
said this the other day on Facebook and Twitter, but I just think that there are things that need our energy today, not just an opinion score of a video game. I think we could just do better as humans if we just focused our energies on the bigger, broader picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave it at that.
But you know, a lot of people are hitting us up saying that it was a great mini rant, I guess. Mm-hmm. so that was cool. And you know, I'm going to play this other voice mug. This is from the man himself, Keon. He's always calling Woo. Us, man. Shout out to him. I'm going to play right now, and we'll talk about that too right now, very quick.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? How are you guys? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. Just wanted to say thank you to you guys. I'm up here in Connecticut driving through this snowstorm. Traffic is backed up to, man, goodness gracious, the ninth cloud or whatever. Don't know what that means. But I just wanted to say thanks. I really appreciated those encouraging words at the end of the podcast between you and Paris. You saying that you're quitting your job, Danny, moving on to bigger and better things. You're motivated to do these things because of your team, because of wanting to do better. Paris saying that every day he wakes up, he's on the grind. Both of you guys, all three of you guys, him saying he wants to be successful and keep at it and, just don't let anything stop you. I just wanted to say, you know, I appreciate the gaming news. That's why I tune into you guys. But personally, have never met you guys. Probably, realistically, never will in person. But, you know, anything can happen. But I just want to say that your personalities also are just great. It's also a thing that attracts me to the show. It's the personalities and the positive energy that you guys have. So just wanted to say thanks on that front. And with that, man, I'm going to keep grinding and doing my thing as well. So once again, thank you guys for the kind, encouraging words on the show. And with that being said, you guys keep doing what you're doing. Stay great. Peace.
Like he said, Pete, he says that it's good that that we're keeping it like this, man, positive and everything. And he also mentioned about me leaving Discovery. Actually, I didn't quit my job. It was more of a situation that, a lot of us got laid off, but it's fine. I'm not even worried about that stuff. But that's the thing, man. There's people that are listening to the podcast because they're stressful for maybe school, work, or, they just want something entertaining for them to, for us to have a great conversation about just video games, and, like in Keon's case, he's a truck driver, so he's always driving around. And I can understand why he's always saying, come on, guys, keep the show longer, please, because, when you're working and you listen to the podcast, like time flies, and it helps you through the hours of work and stuff, So it's true, man. I think that's what I love to see, man. When I find like unique YouTube content, like YouTube videos or even podcasts or even articles online, I take my time and read it and at the same time I would like to learn and maybe through all these content I see online, maybe I'll come up with ideas like how to make the show better and so on. You know what I'm saying? So I like that, man. I like that we're keeping it like this. Like the thing is, a lot of people, Pete, loves to create such a drama so it could be more of a clickbait so people could actually see it or read it and at the same time the word got around about their controversial post or whatever. But at the same time, like, how's that helping us as an industry? Like I just don't see a purpose to do this. At the end of the day, yeah, you'll get a lot of clicks in a few hours, so maybe the for like 24 hours. But then after that, then what? What is going to be your next clickbait? How's that going to help you? Because after a while, people are going to get sick of that, man. You know, like I feel like the way how we're doing things, I see this as like a longevity. Like, look, now 12 years and we're still at it. We'll still get great content, still get, you know, great interviews and invitations to see, you know, games behind the scenes and studios and stuff like that. And it's the reason is because the way how we are, we just being us. It's not about clickbait or stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
No, so, I agree. Mm-hmm. And while that may work for some people, it depends on the person that's producing the content. Mm-hmm.
But if it works for them, personally, I'm not really into that type of stuff.
Right. But and that goes back to something. And actually, he and I actually had a disagreement on Twitter, and we talked about it. But you can't argue a person's opinion. The whole thing stems from him disagreeing with somebody's review. And unfortunately, there's nothing you can do. I think you and I have had this argument many times, whether it's been on the phone or it's been on a chat session or via text. But I can't argue your opinion, because that's your personal opinion or belief on a specific subject, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's how you believe and that's how you react to that specific situation. Mm-hmm. That may not agree. I may not ascribe to that same thing. So just because we have a difference of opinion doesn't mean that either of us are right or wrong.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, that I don't get. Sometimes we might say some things that the listener, they probably don't agree with it, which is fine, you know, mm-hmm. but to say like they get so angry that they are willing to stop listening to the show or so on, just because we have an opinion about it. And sometimes we say things that maybe it's not the things that they would like to hear, but we said a lot of good things about it.
I think that's what makes the show, and I don't mean to sit here and now we're tooting our own horn and stuff like that, but it's the differing of opinions. Mm-hmm. If it was three people saying the same thing, agreeing with each other,
I think it would be horrible.
Boring as hell. And nobody wants to listen to that. People want to hear contrasting opinions and the discussion between that. Now, as in this instance, if it turns into an aggressive, you know, situation or where you're baiting potential violence and name calling,
there's no
need for that. And that's where this whole situation stems from. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you can get your point across in a civil manner. You don't have to be braggadocious or angry or aggressive or none of that is necessary to get your point across. If that's how you choose to put your point across, you may not be taken as seriously as another person who could say the exact same things, but are saying them in a calm, civil manner. Mm-hmm. You know, who's going to be listened to more? The person, or who's going to be respected more? The person who said those things, but they said them in a civil manner, or the person who came out, in a wild out manner, being all aggressive? And it's just wrong.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Wow.
That was a long conversation. I did exactly what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to go and make this, a whole thing.
Oh, no, hell no. No, a lot of people were asking, what's Pete's opinion? I mean, you weren't on, so that's why, that's like my fault. For
the blame Danny. Hashtag blame Danny. Let's get that on Twitter.
Yeah, but shout out to Keon and also TJ and everybody else have been sending us voicemails and emails. We have a lot. You want to read an email, Pete? I think we should go one more email.
There is one, but Paris is going to be mad if we say
No. That one's save it up for Paris.
So we'll let Paris specifically address that one.
Shout out to Keith. He's the one that's always debating with Paris. Uh-huh. About Mario Brothers. He found a poll on Google Plus, which I used to. Do you use that? Because I haven't used Google Plus in years now.
No, I haven't.
He said there was like a poll that he found. There was Super Mario 3 and Super Mario World, and it said, which Mario game do you like the most? So as of now, I see Super Mario World has 75% and Super Mario 3 only has 25%. So he sent that like laughing, like, hey, Paris, look, check it out. Yeah, he sent this back in a few weeks ago. We just didn't read it and stuff. That's funny. Shout out to Keith, man. Thanks for the email.
All right, and then we got one last one from Jesse. This is Jesse from Connecticut. Xbox gamer tag is SilentJ86.
What's up, Jesse?
Just wanted your thoughts on the new Injustice 2 trailer that shows what I consider a nice cinematic of some of the characters, as well as the reveal of Brainiac as a main villain and Darkseid as a pre-order character. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask your thoughts on how transforming your character works. Their website says you can transform Supergirl into Power Girl, as well as other characters doing the same. But is this just a reskin of the characters, or is transformation change the fighting style as well? Let me know, and thanks for the great shows.
That's a great question. Do you know about that, Pete? Do you know about that, Pete?
I know that there's, you can, there, so like obviously Flash is, you know, a very popular character, and you can go from just the regular Flash character, the next thing you know, he's, you know, bulked up, he's got armor and he's got more abilities. As mm-hmm. far as having them having an additional fighting style, I'm not 100% sure on that, and I promise that we can revisit this over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I want to research this a little bit more. But even if it's just a physical or an appearance type situation, I think it's pretty cool. Right. Mm, yeah. I like the fact that you can, even if it's just a skin for an attack, I think it's pretty cool that you could sit there and transform. Now, what would be really cool if you could take someone like Robin and transform him into Nightwing or something like that, that would be amazing. Or go from Robin and turn into the Red Hood, 'cause that essentially is what happens. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those would be little things that I think would be amazing to check out. As far as other characters and how they would, you know, branch out as powers or something like that, I don't know. But I'd be interested to find out, and I will do more research on this, and then hopefully I'll have an answer for you on the next show.
All right. Thanks for the email, Jesse, and everybody else. All right, LP, we have a sponsor once again for this week.
Yes, we do. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron provides you with an amazing variety of meals that you can select or get a grab bag of sorts selected by the Blue Apron culinary team. Just this week, they've got a couple of new recipes, including crispy barramundi with quino. I don't know why I always say quino. That's the commercial that always got me. It's quinoa and roasted carrot salad, okay, or cashew chicken stir fry with tango mandarins and jasmine rice. I mean, when you hear things like that, it makes you think like you're going to a restaurant, like one of those fancy restaurants with square plates, and you get to eat really good food. But these are things that you can cook in your house. Either way, each meal you receive from Blue Apron comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients, and the typical meal takes anywhere from 40 to 45 minutes to prepare. And time is money. Not only do you save time by not having to go to the store, for less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers great-tasting seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the store to get things for dinner, and then I only use a part of it, and the rest of it ends up in the trash because it goes bad. And then so you're not just saving money, you're saving food, you're saving time, and you get a great meal. So all you have to do is check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/gamertag. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/gamertag. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
All right, so let's play the interview with Vitaly and also Make Games Miami, and we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All All right, so we're here in Miami, Florida, and guess who's visiting us right now, man? Visiting the city of Miami. We have Vitaly here in the house. Vitaly, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Just excited to be here in Miami again. You know, it's been like a year since I've been back here, so excited to be here in the summer of January. And it's a lot warmer here than it is where I'm from.
I mean, there's a lot of people that probably don't know much about you. You know, there's a lot, of course, that they do. But for those that don't know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, you know, I'm one of the pioneers in esports, you know, the kind of the first guy that made it a full-time job playing video games and making a living from it. So, throughout my career, I won about $500,000 in tournament winnings. And, when I did it, it was very important that you had to win all the time. Today in esports, there's many ways to make money where you don't have to win. And so, it's a very exciting time in esports because people can make money in so many different ways, with competitive gaming, in the sense of, not competitive gaming, but like with YouTube or Twitch, just being an entertainer, you know, covering esports and covering the people. There's so many different avenues now in gaming, which makes it a very exciting and like a blowing up industry for everyone involved.
Have you even tried to probably compete nowadays? I mean, I know back then you used to do that a lot, but nowadays it's a lot more pro gamers now. There's a lot of different type of competitions now, and it's gotten a lot more mainstream compared to back then. So,
well, you know, I mean, I think the best players were playing, you know, when I was playing. I mean, you know, when you put up $1 million purse prize purse, everyone in the world's trying to take it, you know, and esports has always been very, very competitive. It's a very tough, tough field to win at all times, because if you're not training 8-12 hours a day and you're not practicing like crazy, you're never going to be the best in the world. So, to step into this space, it's very difficult, you know. And the games I'm, you know, like the last game I was a world champion was a game called Painkiller. I mean, you know, if we all did it again, like right now, I mean, I'd probably still be number one in the world right now. But like, no one's playing Painkiller anymore. So the games evolve and change. So esports evolves in time because new games become more popular. So like right now, one of the most popular FPS games are a game called Overwatch. And Overwatch is not a one-on-one game. It's a six-on-six game. So now it's about finding five other dudes that are just as nuts, you know, as me, that want to win as much as I do. And so, you know, for me, I've kind of like, you know, I've had my piece with competitive gaming. I've won my 12 world championships in five different games, which, you know, basically it's like a stat that'll probably last a long time. But, you know, for me, it's been about giving back to esports and making products for gamers through my brand. So I make headphones and motherboards. So my goal is to always make product for a gamer to help him play to his full potential.
We're going to talk more about like the products and stuff that you've been doing now. But I mean, what are the advice for those that are up and coming, that they want to start, you know, professional gaming, they want to compete also? Like, any advice to those that are starting?
Well, you know, you want to start with a game that, you know, hasn't, you know, it's kind of hard to come into a game late. Like if you haven't played Counter-Strike ever in your whole life and you're coming to play Counter-Strike right now to be a Counter-Strike world champion, it's going to be tough, you know? And the thing is the longevity. How long is Counter-Strike going to last? I mean, it's already lasted 17 years now, which is amazing in itself. But the thing is, you know, it's not like NFL or Major League Baseball where it's always going to be there. So the way I look at it is like you have to look at wherever the hottest, newest game's coming out and hopefully catch a really sick wave, you know, in esports. So in the sense, like if the game's extremely popular for a long time, you go for it. You get in there, you play the beta, you get in that game early. Overwatch is still pretty early. You could probably still get into Overwatch if you're a competitive FPS player. And, you know, it's just about practicing. You got to practice a lot with your teammates and, you know, people that you enjoy being around. The biggest thing for me was I surrounded myself with very positive and, you know, enlightening people that had good character and just had fun. You know, I mean, when I practice, I mean, I'm practicing 8-12 hours a day. You know, yeah, it's I'm playing a game that's fun, but the other half is not fun because it's work. So you have to balance it out. So for me, I surround myself with really positive thinking people and people I really enjoyed being around, where I could tell a joke and they would understand it's a joke, and we would have a good time bantering. And basically, it made like an 8 or 12 hour day go like in 4 hours. You know, so half the time I'm actually playing games and half the time I'm not.
So what is the reason that you're here in Miami? Like, what, you just vacation or what? Because I know there's a gaming cruise going on. So tell us a little bit about that too.
So the gaming cruise is GakukuCon, and it's a gaming festival that they're doing a LAN event tonight here at Dave & Buster's. So they invited me to come out here and be a part of this. And then it's like a 5-day gaming cruise, to Key West and to Mexico. So, I'm really excited about being here and being a part of the event and meeting all the gamers down here. I think it's a cool chance to meet the gamers from Miami and people that traveled here to be on this cruise. So, for me, it's a way to, touch base with other gamers and, keep the Fatality brand and name out there and stay kind of like to the ground of meeting the people that do play.
Actually, like a year and a half ago, I believe we met before that. Like, I think it was like 2006 or so at different events and stuff. But at a year and a half ago, Monster had an event. We don't know why they invited us to go. We were like wondering, Monster is known for like a hip hop headphones and stuff. So, and then at that night, they announced that they are working with you with brand new headphones too, for more for like the gaming side too. That's the first time them doing that. So tell us a little about that, about the product and how that happened, like, you know, how that came about.
Monster, they're really known for making like, high quality products. They were really famous for making the Beats by Dre brand. And so they make really good products. So, my philosophy was, hey, you have this great company, but you don't do anything in gaming or in esports. So Fatality, as a company and as a brand, and then also the person, myself attached to it, my goal is always to make products for gamers to help improve their gameplay and their experience playing the game. So I decided to partner with them to be their gaming vertical and basically just been working on making the product and building the product from the ground up. So when we make a product, we're building a product together. It's not really like me like just slapping my logo and name on it. It's actually like coming from my side of living on the battlefield for over 20 years now, knowing what I want in the game and how I want it to feel on my ears and how I want to hear the sounds. Making that product with Noel Lee and his engineers to develop that product.
So what makes this headset different than the other ones? Because there's so many out there in the market. So what is it that stands out?
Well, I've been making headphones, since 2005, 2006. And, we sold over 2 million units of my previous headphone. And a lot of the features, making it affordable for the gamers. I mean, it's like, it's crazy to think that, not a ton of gamers have a ton of money to waste $300 on a pair of headphones. So I approached the market in the very sense, like, I want to offer great value to the gamers. And then the other side is adding features like the removable microphone, which didn't exist in the marketplace. So I invented something new that, now you look at all these gaming headphones out there, they all have like this feature that, is something I created back in 2005. And then now that these new headphones, obviously with Noel Lee's expertise in sound and some new ideas that I want on the product is, having it be an ultra lightweight. A lot of the headphones out there weigh like 13 ounces. Well, if you're a really hardcore gamer and you really enjoy playing video games, you're playing more than like 1 hour sessions. You're playing like 2 to 4 to 6, 8 hour sessions every day, depending on what level of gamer you are. But so my biggest thing was that give people a very comfortable, durable gaming headset that works on all platforms, works on PC, Xbox, PS4, mobile, all in one headset. It's ultra lightweight, it's very durable, and it has good fashion to it. In the sense, like, you're not going to think it's like this geeky like headphone. The headphone actually has quality of style and design. And I really wanted to hone in on like the how it visually looked and appeared, where in the sense like they're getting great value, but they're also getting some style with it. But you also get the functionality of ultra lightweight, durable, and great sound.
So what about like any other products too that's coming out this year with you, or already came out too in the past, like last year or so?
Yeah, so we just, Intel just released a new chipset for, 2017. So we have the new Fatality Intel gaming motherboards coming out right now. So for people that really like to build computers and overclock and tweak their computer to get their full potential out of it, they'll buy a Fatality Intel motherboard, The reason why is because a lot of people like to stream. Like, people like to be on Twitch and they like to use OBS or XSplit to broadcast their gameplay or, whatever they're doing on the internet. So for me, I want to tell people like how to overclock their computer, because OBS and XSplit take a huge hit on the CPU resources. And so when you overclock the computer to like a higher frequency from like 3.2 gigahertz to like, 4.6 gigahertz or 5 gigahertz or wherever you want that you build the rig around it, it helps you get those frames back. So when you're playing the game, my biggest goal is make sure you're playing to your full potential at all times. And that's why I developed these products under the Fatality brand.
I mean, I know you play, and I know when you have some time to like relax and, you know, you're home. What is it you're playing right now? You're playing console, you're playing PC. What is it you're playing?
Well, you know, I would say my typical day right now consists of, I do play some mobile games because I do enjoy the quick, easy game, but obviously I'm always into the PvP kind of game, so Clash Royale is like right at the top. I think I spent over $2,000 on that game already playing that game. So I don't advise spending the money, that much money on the game, but I just felt the urge to do it, and I did it, and I have a team of 50 people, and everyone's like pretty heavily dedicated, and you know, I got the rules set up, like you have to donate, you know, I'm like dictating like how this is going down kind of thing, but everyone's on board, everyone loves it, and it's fun to play with all my friends that I meet around the world. And you know, if I meet someone new that has like, you know, 3,000 trophies or more, I'll be like, okay, I'll kick someone from the clan and let you in, because I mean, I want to have the best team, right? But other than that, I've been playing a game called Overwatch. I'm sure you heard it from Blizzard. I play Overwatch probably, you know, last week I probably played like 50 or 60 hours. I mean, I literally playing like every second. I have an alternate account as well.
Who's your character? Who's your character Overwatch?
Oh man, if you know anything about me, it's all about winning. So it's I pick whatever character needs to be picked. Okay. You know, so I'm always looking for the best character. So, you know, it's if a guy's going sniper, I mean, sometimes I would like to go sniper versus sniper, but like that's kind of like a bad move. The better move would be like go Winston or a D.Va if you don't already have a D.Va. It just depends on your like composition, but you know, the game's getting updated and changed all the time, so the meta of the game changes constantly, and I just love hopping on and playing with my friends all the time, and you know, we're in there killing people, and you know, I got my primary account and I got my secondary account. So in my primary account, I really don't even play on anymore. I've been playing on my secondary because it's so much more fun to go in incognito where people aren't, you know, hassling me. Because if I go in there as Fatality, like everyone starts talking to me all the time. It's like, oh, you're not the real Fatality. And like, oh, like, you know, even if I win, like, oh, Fatality would have killed us a long time ago. You know, like, okay, like.
Don't you find that like challenging now? Because you know how it is, like. When you started, you were, I think that was maybe your prime, right? When you're like younger and everything. But now that you've been busy and stuff.
Yeah.
But now there's so many more new gamers. Competition is getting more tough. There's more new games. Like, does it get frustrating? Because you're known to be number one. Like, and now that there's so many different games and so many new gamers, how challenging is that now for you?
Well, you know, I did it throughout my whole career. You know, I mean, I'm a world champion at 5 different games. So, I mean, I had to go to a new game, which I was not the best in the world at. I mean, I was, you know, when I went to Unreal Tournament from Quake, I mean, there was guys playing Unreal for 4 years already. I mean, I played the game for only 3 months and I came into their game and I beat them, you know, but like, it's, you know, it's in every game, like, they're like, oh, you know, he's, you know, they're like, you're not going to win. And then I go play another game and I win again. Like, so it's like, and then I went to the game called Painkiller. And like, you know, I was, there's clearly the, my rival Vu was like the number one player in the world. But we got down to the finals in New York City for $150,000 and I won that. So it's like, you know, throughout my whole career, I mean, they're all, you know, it's always been like, there's someone better. There's oh, these guys are new or these guys are coming up. I mean, for my whole life, I've, you know, for like 7-8 years, I defunct that conclusion because, you know, I was playing at a very, very extremely high level. And, you know, I put the time in. I worked really hard at it. And, you know, it was a blast, you know, playing all those years. And you know, it was never easy. I'll tell you that. I mean, every day was like nonstop. So, you know, as new games come out, when you play a team game, it's even more difficult because how hard is it to find 6 dudes that are crazy about winning? Like, you know, when one-on-one, it was completely different. You know, one-on-one, it was about, you know, about me training and being the best I can be. But now when you're in a team environment, there's too many variables to know, like, who the best is. I mean, yeah, he might be the best, you know, Lucio in the world, which you don't really want to be the best Lucio in the world. but like, the best Reinhardt or the best, you know, the best soldier or whatever the meta is, you know? And then that's cool, you know, but the thing is, you still got to rely on 5 other dudes to carry their weight too. So everyone has to do their job.
Yeah. Now, I remember going to like different events, different conferences and stuff. And there's always a booth, and like go play against a Fatality all day. Let's see if you can beat him. I think it was like Unreal. There was like multiple games like throughout the years and stuff.
Killer, Quake. We played like every game under the sun, and like we did these Fatality shootouts. So like,
I mean, how focused you had to be? Because there was a lot of people, random people, dude, show up. Some okay, some maybe close. How was it for you, right? That experience, man.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, the thing is, we were also giving away like a $1,000 computer or $5,000 cash, or in some case, we gave away $100,000 to a player. You know, it was basically me going around the world trying to educate the world about esports. You know, and people in the mainstream didn't know about esports yet. So a lot of my efforts when I was playing, yeah, I was winning and I was winning money and I was like the world champion gamer. But the thing is, the mainstream was still learning who I was, you know. And I got lucky. I was on MTV. I was on 60 Minutes. I got front page of Business Week. I got on Time Magazine. I was the poster child for the whole industry. So for me, doing these Fatality shootouts was just another mechanism to bring more awareness to esports and show that esports is a sport of the 21st century. And so that was my biggest thing, is like I was not only the player, but I was also the biggest ambassador of esports getting to where it is today. And so that's what I try to capitalize on when I was being interviewed by the biggest people in the industry.
I have two more questions. One is there any teams or a pro gamer that you like to sit back and watch it at home or watch it maybe live that you were like, man, you know what? It reminds me a lot of me.
They don't play 1v1 anymore. So it's like, for me, watching esports now, it's more about watching my friends play and kind of cheering them on and like kind of like feeling their emotions high and low. Like I went to the MLG event in Mandalay Bay this last, like 2 months ago, and one of my friends, Rafa, he's a world champion Quake live player, and he's on a team for Team Liquid, and I also DeHang's on the team. Like all these Quake guys are on team. I was like, dude, I know like over half the team. It's like crazy. Like, you know, like they're like all people from like, you know, my era of like, you know, time. And so, when I went there to go watch them play, I mean, obviously I'm cheering them on and so forth, but it's just, it's a team game. And in Overwatch, it's not about the discipline of one person's skill so much as it is a team's chemistry to accomplish things in the game at the right moments. And so Overwatch is more about team chemistry, knowing when and where to be there, and when to, you know, do your ultimate or do your spell, do your special ability. So it's a lot different than the games where I came from, where it's much more raw. You know, I mean, like when I did those challenges, no one could challenge me because, I mean, you know, when you're just beating everyone, you know? I mean, it's like there's a huge skill gap. It's like if we were to go out and play right now against Roger Federer in tennis, do you think we're going to win a game? Never. It's not going to happen. So it's not going to happen. I mean, like, and I played tennis like for like 10 years, you know, or longer. You know, I played since I was a teenager. I mean, and I still play today, but like I don't think I'd ever win a game against Roger Federer. I don't think it'd ever happen, you know? So that's how, you know, that's how much talent was in those type of games back then. And now today you're seeing more of like this like 50-50 experience that's going on. And, you know, it's really about six guys really working as one to win. And if you look at any of the pro matches, it's like 3-2, or like the guys win 3-2 or 2-1, or, you know, whatever the situation of the tournament is. But it's exciting, though. It's I think people are intrigued by it and so forth. But, you know, if the best team wins, the best team wins. And if they can keep winning, like Team Envious won that tournament, it'll be interesting to see if they win the next one, you know. So I'll keep my eye on it and keep watching. I'm a big fan of esports, not only shooters, but MOBA games and so on, you know, even the mobile games you have on your phone. I mean, I'm like, I obviously spent $2,000 on a mobile game. I must be nuts about esports. So, yeah. So for me, this is a passion, a lifelong commitment to esports. And I plan on continuing to promote esports in the most positive light.
My last question is, I mean, we're here at the event. There's a lot of independent gamers, game developers, I mean, that they have like their own games and stuff. Any ones that you tried out maybe in the past or maybe here today that got your attention to?
Well, I'm gonna check out Soul Keeper a little bit. You know, they got the VR system over there set up and everything like that. And I got a chance to meet some of the developers on the game, you know, and they're really cool people that I met here. So I would have never met them if I didn't come here. So getting a chance to bump shoulders with the developers and the programmers and playing their games, you know, it's going to be a fun night.
Thanks a lot, and thanks for contributing a lot, man, in the gaming industry. I think what you did in the past, I think that helped out a lot for what it is now with the whole esports and everything, man. So props to you, man.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Oh, what's your website?
You can go to fatality.com. It's fatal1ty.com, and then you know, also on Twitter, fatal1ty. Just fatality. It's I is spelled with a one, so fatal1ty.
Thanks a lot, man.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
My name's Andrew Fardacongeli. I'm the CEO and founder of GakuCon.
Man, this is a couple people here, man, at the event. And all you guys are going to get ready for the cruise that's going to happen over the weekend. So how this concept came about and why you guys want to do something different like this, man?
So we were originally trying to figure out how we can get some more attention for Miami because we work with the local game developers down here. Well, we are game developers ourselves. And we were trying to think of how we can get attention from outside, right? Because the community's building down here, but it takes some resources. It's from external, right? So we thought of something a little bit more Miami-esque, a bit of a beach vacay mixed with game development, networking, and a cruise kind of popped up. We started looking into it, and it turned out to be feasible. So we have a bit of activities like land party on the ship, Q&A with our guests like Greg Street from League of Legends, Fatality, Mr. Destructoid. So it's a good opportunity for people to kind of get together in a more intimate setting versus, say, like, the endless ground pounding and packs where there's 70,000 people. Ours is a smaller event, right? So year over year, even at our max, if we were to get an entire ship of game developers, that's 2,200 people, give or take.
So what was it so important for you guys to have an event like this, not only to promote independent game developers from here, from Miami?
So I think it's just time. We have a strong game culture here in Miami that's kind of been repressed. We're known as a party city. I grew up down here, and I usually had to keep it on the down low. You know, in high school, played football and all that, but on the back end, I'm playing Halo, you know, playing all my Xbox games, PlayStation. Got older, picked up a couple skills along the way, and got into game development. And, you know, we just think this is a perfect time for it, and especially the venue. Like, this, there's really nothing else down here. A lot of the guys joke that this was kind of a wasteland until we started doing Make Games Miami about 2 years ago. And this is kind of now the capstone. Like, we grew the community up to this point where now we could do something a little bit bigger like this.
Yeah, that was the first time I met you guys. I went to one of your meetups, and I was very surprised the amount of gaming developers here in Miami, Florida, independently. There was some that had games for the PC, some for VR, some for even PlayStation Network, right? I was very, very surprised because the thing is, you know, I know Nero, I know Destructor and everything. We've done events years ago here in Miami, Florida. But it was more for like the gamers, you know. But I was very surprised the amount of gaming developers in here in Miami, Florida, you know. So why you guys started that whole, you know, meetup and let's try to promote the independent gaming developers here from Miami.
So my partner likes to joke that it's almost like we were looking for office space. So we built an office building. What I mean there is we started wanting to make like indie games, right? It was a very small project we were working on because I met my partner at Tiger Direct and we had another guy who was a programmer that was working with us. And we were like, okay, we need to learn from like other people who have done this or like maybe get some help or find some other artists, stuff like that. And there was nowhere to do it. So in that case, it's either not have that resource or just start doing it. So we started doing it. Okay. Plot twist, it actually put the game to the side for now. You know, there's still the dream on that, but we're developing out the community, and there's a lot of great things that have happened from it. More projects popping up now and then, and of course, we do help with projects through, well, Game Trap, right? Like, that's what we do now. Our own games, not so much, but we love these guys so much, we'll work with them for anything.
I mean, do you have any success stories of any developers that started their companies here in Miami and maybe they blew up, or is a game that has been a very successful game?
Yep. You ever heard of Doodle Jump?
Yes, I heard of Doodle Jump. Yeah, yeah.
They have a game here in Dave & Buster. Doodle Jump is actually a local studio.
Really? This is from Miami? I didn't know that. Oh, that's
and same with if you see a game called Flow Free on Big Duck Games, They're also local here. They actually sponsor the monthly meetup. So they had like 200,000, 300,000, no, 200 million plus downloads, I believe. Like they're a full, what I like to say, they're the biggest little studio here in Miami.
I mean, what is it that do you think that is one of the main issues with like the gaming developers? Okay, they might have like a great game, but their name is not even out there at all. What do you think is the main issue about that? Like, any advice for those that start their own company and they would like to maybe promote it or get the word out about their product?
Yeah, well, first, I mean, there's so many ways to make games now that there's just so many games being made. So the thing that we usually talk to our newer devs down here is promote early, promote often. A lot of guys go into it and be like, no, my idea is the best. I have to hold on to it until I'm ready to release. But that doesn't work anymore because there's so many other competitors. Like, you're not recreating a wheel. You're simply putting a hubcap on it. So, you know, as soon as you start making your game and you have the concept art, you have the GDD, you have anything, start marketing it if you think you're going to take the game commercially and serious, because it's your personal reputation tied to that.
And I always mention this to people too, man, like go to events, meet people, network. I think that's very, very important. I think a lot of people are like, let me just work on my game, just stay home. I think it's like a major mistake for them to do that, right? Do you agree too?
Yeah, it's too hard to make a quality game alone. And usually you find other people when you go to events. That's when you never know. You'll bump into your next, you know, lead programmer or an artist. Actually, I mean, Soulkeeper as an example here, he met most of the guys now on the team through the community. So just by getting out there and just sharing your passion and saying like, hey, I'm really working on this project. And by having something to show, the complementary skills will say, wow, you're making something great. I want to be a part of that. Because, you know, starting as an indie, you don't have a budget. Like, usually it's zero. So you're working, like, not even pulling yourself up from your bootstraps. So you have to find people who are passionate and willing to do it for free with you.
So when you had your first meetup, how in the world you got the word out about the meetup? Because it could get really, really challenging to get the word out. Like, yo, we have a meetup. Meet us over here at this location. So how was it you discovered all these developers here locally in Miami?
So our first event, we did it through meetup.com, which is pretty good. It distros to people who are interested. But then we also looked at some of the other groups in the area and started reaching out to them. Because technically, Make Games Miami, what we run, it's more of an umbrella group rather than a standalone. It's actually made up of the Florida Game Developers Association, Unreal Florida. We kind of did that to rally the clans. But that's what we did. It's just networking. So instead of networking to meet other people, we met other groups and kind of pooled resources and said, hey, you know, we're going to do this event on this day for this specific type of subject. Whatever you guys are doing is cool, too. Like, it's not really a competitive field. Some people treat it like that sometimes, but it's all collaborative. So it really was. It's the same thing, like ground pounding. And even when I go to conventions everywhere, I still find random developers here in Miami. As a matter of fact, we just set up a guy in the exhibition room like today who popped up and said, oh, I make games. And we're like, dude, set your computer up. Show people. Make it happen. So
that's pretty cool. What are the plans? Like, I know you have your cruise now coming up. What are the plans you guys are planning to do, like, maybe later this year in 2017 for you?
So most of it is we're going to immediately start planning 2018 for GakuCon. But most of it is, like, housekeeping, I guess, on the community. One thing we kind of want to do is make a little bit more of a kind of like a job board, but more where it says I have some skills and it'll automatically match people together. Because that's one of the problems that I have now is there's a lot of people who say, hey, I'm a musician, I need a game, and it's hard to keep track of it manually. So we're going to try and automate that a little bit more. Other things are is we started getting more into esports. We actually have Daniel Fraud Montaner, who's also a local, who believes in it. And there's a lot of things moving on down here in Miami for that. So I'm all for it. I'm all about game industry. So you're a player, a game developer, it doesn't matter to me. I love you for it. So that's, well, Game Trap. That's like our real core job, I guess, our business. And that's where we do like the contracting services. But game entrepreneurs, so anything. So esports is now for 2017 down here. We have the Florida Flamingos and the Miami Heat just bought the Misfits.
That's pretty dope, right?
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, all right, so for those that are very curious, they're not from Miami, but they would like to know more about your meetup, your company, and everything. Where is like the best place to know more about it?
So if you're a social media kind of person, you can hit us up on Facebook. We have a Make Games Miami meetup, or GameTrep.com, or even GakuCon.com, and you can contact us. And I can always point people in the right direction. So there's plenty of ways to reach us.
Awesome, man. But thanks a lot, and good luck with the whole cruise and everything, man. And I'm proud of you guys because, you know, when I went to the, I'm a huge gamer, you know, and I've been to a lot of events and stuff. When I got to, I went to was it Miami-Dade downtown, and I got to see a lot of developers, even kids too, man, very young, maybe 12 years old, showing me their game. They're there for me from Miami. I was proud. I'm like, wow, man, that's pretty dope, you know, coming from just doing parties and events for like the gaming community over here, seeing actually people working on games. I was very proud about that, man. So props to you guys, and I hope locally it grows more, man. I think it's super important. I think it helps the industry too, man. You know, so props to you guys, man.
Yeah, and thank you for being part of the ecosystem, man. I appreciate it as well. Yeah,
cool, man. Thanks a lot, man. All right.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, Pete, we're going to wrap it up. Super Bowl's coming up in a couple days. Are you hype or what?
I hope I'm home in time to watch the game. I'm going Hawks.
You know what? I think I'm going for the Falcons, man. I know a lot of people are going for the Patriots, so.
Why? Is that because you're a Dolphins fan and no, you're sick and tired of seeing Brady win?
No. I feel like I'm going for the underdog, and I think that defense-wise, I see the Falcons get, like, it's going to be tough for the Patriots, man. Yeah. Yo, Falcons are really good with the defense, man.
They do,
really,
and that's attributed to having Dan Quinn as their coach, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the brains behind the Legion of Boom over in Seattle, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So,
but the thing is, offense wise, Patriots, man, they're just out of control, man. But actually, today there was an email sent from EA. Mm-hmm. They always do the Super Bowl prediction,
right,
with Madden Ball.
Madden, yeah.
They said that New England Patriots is gonna win the Super Bowl. And I'm gonna tell you what they have, like, score wise. I'll tell you right now. They said it's gonna be New England Patriots gonna defeat the Falcons 27-24. Hmm. That's their prediction for this year's Super Bowl. Interesting.
Wow, he said that at the same time. That's hilarious.
That is hilarious.
Hey, but it wouldn't be surprised, because last year they got it wrong.
They did?
Yeah, they picked Carolina to win, and the Broncos won.
Yeah. What was it? Were they close with the score or no?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
I can't remember either. But
I do remember, though, that the year before, they picked the Patriots and the Seahawks. And the score that they said, I think it was like 28-24, 20-20, something, was actually the score that they won by.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's been on and off then.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, so let us know if you guys are going to be watching the Super Bowl. By the way, Pete, this weekend during the Super Bowl, we're also going to see a couple of video game commercials. I believe there's one from EA to promote Battlefront.
Mm-hmm.
And also Nintendo is going to be also airing their commercial, their TV ad, to promote the Nintendo Switch and Zelda. Your thoughts on that, guy? That's very interesting coming from Nintendo, right?
Well, considering it's not their demographic, that's the part that's weird. You know, it doesn't. It's not their demographic, but
I think they're changing. They're trying to get like the older crowd to. And remember, it's Zelda too. Like the way how they're promoting that game. It's not for the kids, man. That's more, you know, teens and up. So,
well, I think they're aiming that more at towards the parents who are going to be buying it for their kids. So,
yeah, that's true.
And I don't think it's going to be an issue selling hardware. I think we were talking about that offline today about how Nintendo sold 1.5 million classics.
Nintendo NES edition.
Yeah, the NES classics, and I think Paris's response was it could have been 5 million, but they had to do this whole limited, you know, limited device run for sales, you know? Hmm. So
yeah,
knowing Nintendo, they've always been strong on this. They've always been strong with the hardware stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's more than enough inventory and stock to go around, and they're likely to blow the doors off sales.
Very true. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. And remember, head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamertagRadio.
And find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, until next time, we are out. Peace. Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.